Welcome everybody to another week here with the Godfathers of Podcasting. This is episode 16 and my name is Donnie DeSilva. We've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. I am joined as always by my brothers, your bro Danny O.
Yo.
And Notorious T.I.D.
So
it is going to be a fun one this week, guys. We have got a pair of guests lined up on tonight's program. Coming up tonight, we've got comedian Jeff Gleason, funny man, and also
Gleason.
What did I say?
Gleason, like he's related to Jackie or something.
I think he is Jackie Gleason.
Oh, the G is silent.
I think it's Jackie Gleason on Vampire Baby Blood or something, and he's just been reincarnated.
I don't know what that means.
Also joining us is going to be a friend of the show, April Hunter, will join us a little bit later on tonight. When you want to talk about a true Renaissance woman, there are few out there that can compete with the lovely and talented April Hunter. We want to mention very quickly, tonight's episode is brought to you by makegoodfood.ca. Did you know, fellas, that 80% of North Americans have no idea what they're going to make for dinner at 4 p.m. on that night? Well, make your life easier. Go to makegoodfood.ca. You can just take that stress away. You go to their website, you select how many meals you'd like each week, you choose the recipes that appeal to you. They've got healthy options, quick prep. They've even got some artisan choices. You don't need to know how to cook. You don't need to be a great chef. Take it from me. I didn't know how to cook 5 months ago. I started ordering from makegoodfood.ca. Now I'm posting photos online and people are telling me that I've got restaurant quality dishes. And you know what? They taste amazing too. If you sign up for good food right now, go to their website, makegoodfood.ca, and use the promo code GOP45. You'll get $45 off your first two baskets of food. That's makegoodfood.ca, and the promo code is GOP45. Last week, we did an awesome promo, and we actually gave away $800 worth of free food baskets to our listeners out there who went to godfathersofpodcasting.com/shop. and purchased a brand new wearable item from our store. And as a thank you, we sent a free basket of food. We are going to do that offer again tonight. We've got five more baskets we're going to give away. But if it's anything like last week, they're going to go fast. So go to godfathersofpodcasting.com/shop right now. Buy a t-shirt, tank top, cropped hoodie, like Dan wears, whatever you want. And then... What? Oh, yeah, he likes the cropped hoodie. And then go ahead and send us your proof of purchase, and we will send you a free basket of food. They deliver anywhere in Canada. And the one thing you need to keep in mind, though, because we did run into this last week, if you've already signed up in the past for makegoodfood.ca, they're going to recognize your email address. So this is for new customers, and we will send you a new basket of food, $80 value. You get to choose whatever the hell you want. Fellas, that is a deal.
Is that directly from you?
Donnie? What's that?
That coming from directly from the...
If it was like directly from
the Godfather's bank account?
Yeah.
The $80 deal?
That's our thank you to our listeners.
Basically, brother, because...
If it was coming directly from Don, it would just be a picture of the food, Ted. You'd go home.
Wow.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to clarify because, like, I could use $80. So I'm just guessing, like, could you just send me the $80?
Wait a minute. Of all people, did Daniel Feraldo call me cheap? Yeah. Of all people, you're calling me cheap?
No.
That wasn't a cheap joke. That was a take pictures of food joke. Because last week we were talking about how, you know, that's all you really do.
That is true.
Well,
we haven't clarified. Here's the one thing that we haven't noticed as well, right? We haven't seen any food pictures since last week. Mm-hmm. And I'm still waiting.
It's been a busy week.
I'm still waiting for the food.
Got it, Donnie.
We're still waiting for the picture of the plate next to your head, though.
Exactly.
Actually,
I'm pretty sure they got Adam's like, please stop plagiarizing the photos on our boxes.
Not at all.
Taking,
Not at all. In fact, that's what's so great about makegoodfood.ca. Their recipes are easy.
Yeah.
The instructions are easy. Everything comes out looking great. And Tid, for dinner tonight, I did make a fancy little dish. I took a cute little picture and I took a second picture holding it up like this just for you. So after
you're just
the show
waiting
tonight,
to get it back from Photoshop or what?
No. After the show tonight, I will post it for you.
I can't no, really, really appreciate it. I'd really appreciate it if makegoodfood.ca could send a wickedus along with the food to cook it up. Because
no. Regardless, dude, don't be so helpless. Cook it yourself.
You missed the point. I want a wickedus to come with the food.
Uh-huh.
This guy's been missing points all day. It's only
if you want to get in. If you want to get a wickedus, learn to cook and they will line up at your door.
Hold on. Here's my question. So let's say this wickedus signs up to the program, this program on Dal's end, right? Where they like what? Oh, hey, I feel like I need to be fulfilled by going and cooking some dinner for this cheap ass light skinned motherfucker who don't leave his goddamn room all right? Because you like, come on, Dan. And she's going to freak out because she's going to open your fridge. You're going to be like, why are these avocados in the fridge?
Because I keep them fresh, baby.
After we are broadcasting.
Down, stick around.
We are broadcasting live right now, ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook as well as on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Once this episode is done broadcasting live, you can listen to the archive on any of your favorite podcast providers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, and many, many, many more. And if there is a podcast provider out there that you use, that you prefer, that we're not currently on, send us a message and we promise we will resolve that problem for you. It's been a busy week, fellas. There's lots of stuff that's been going on. First and foremost, I want to say, you know, there's lots going on this week for the first time in the last, whatever it's been, 4 months that we've been doing the Godfathers of Podcasting, for the first time, it's a heavy sports week.
Yeah.
Ish. It's none are being played, but a lot are being talked about.
Well, there's a lot that are about to be played, and there's a lot that's happening, and there's a lot of sports news. And one thing is, Dan, you're a big Leafs fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was going to tell you, like...
not as big as you. I've seen you've been rocking the Leafs gear lately. You're wearing Raptors right now, but
no, that's fake news. See, I'm not actually a Leaf fan. I wanted to announce I've been a Seattle Kraken fan since day one, yo. Since day one.
I was just gonna say, man, it's time to get cracking. Yeah, no, I'm a Leafs fan. So what's the point? Is the Kraken to?
Yeah, I'm down with. I'm down with the Kraken. Yeah, the Seattle Kraken.
You know, there's too many jokes. Are too easy.
I like my favorite part is how they ripped off the Seagram's logo.
Kind of did. Yeah. It is kind of Seagram's-ish.
It totally is.
But you're getting.
I figured after that juice came out that name was taken. I know it's not a sports team, but all I think about is the juice.
You know it's going to be the Seattle Crackheads.
I'm already seeing all those jokes online. The Crackheads, right? The ass cracks.
I'll tell you what, though. They did their homework because the social media response today to the Seattle Kraken has been overwhelmingly positive. Yes, everyone seems to be loving the logo, the color scheme, even the fact that the name is original, the fact that it's consistent with Seattle sports teams that always seem to have an aquatic theme.
Right.
Whether it's the Sounders, the Seahawks, the, you know, whatever. Pretty cool, I think, overall, that it's gotten such rave reviews. I can't remember the last time a brand new sports team popped up on the scene and everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, you know? I don't hate it either because it kind of it falls in line with what my original thinking was when it came to sports teams' names, and that's to have something like ominous and big and not necessarily big and huge, but like something that could kill your ass. You know what I'm saying? And like too many team names these days, it's kind of like this. Like there's nothing I hate more than soccer name teams. Like, soccer team names, I mean, like FC, like every single team is called FC. Sure. Like they couldn't come up with some shit. So Kraken is definitely original in terms of speed, from what I know from sports teams names. And it's an ominous, huge, even if it's mythical, it's like a dope ass thing that if you were literally facing it in real life, which is how Balky chose football team names back in Perfect Strangers days, Kraken would kick ass.
It all comes down to perfect strangers when it's Danny-O.
Always. Every single thing has to be related in some way.
Also in sports, the NBA returned this week with scrimmages. I got to tell you guys, I've watched every scrimmage so far that's been played, and I'm shocked by how much I'm enjoying the setup, the fan-free setup, where they've set up video walls where fans should be. It looks sleek. It looks cool. They've distanced the players. Instead of all being on a bench, they're in seats in three rows.
Is that right? What's the point of that, though, if they're going to end up playing with each other anyways? You coming off the bench.
What? Whoa. What they do to the league, man? what are you saying?
I think it's a matter of just... When not necessary, don't take the risk, right? When you're playing, you're playing. And when you're not, you're not.
Right.
But
they're the practicing setup, with each other. They're in each other's face all the time.
Yeah, but Dan, they're doing a ridiculous amount of testing. They have zero positive cases since people have entered the bubble. They are testing constantly. Mm-hmm. So I'm super impressed with the amount of testing and technology that's being used down there. Even things like the Aura ring that a lot of the players have chosen to wear that will detect symptoms of people near them.
Like the Green Lantern.
Yeah. You're the Green Lantern of COVID.
Yeah. And you know what else I hear? And because of the videos that are going around is that shotgunning beers relentlessly also helps a ton at making sure that you don't get this, apparently. Right.
That has been a very popular thing. That a lot of the players in the NBA bubble have been posting to social media. Everyone seems to be shotgunning beers like they're in high school.
You know why? Because their wives aren't there going, would you clean that up off the fucking floor, please?
Kid, when's the last time you shotgunned a beer?
13 minutes ago.
Like, really? Like, you spiked it and deal?
Teeth, brah. Brah, these front teeth, they're cutters. Back teeth are for grinding. Front teeth are for cutting. Come on now. Okay,
can we get a demonstration of that live on air?
Right now. Really?
Yeah.
No. You give me that free food basket, maybe we'll
no problem.
Free for a year.
You shotgun a beer and I will send you a free food basket courtesy of makegoodfood.ca.
Tremendous. Next week, tune in.
Don, we were talking earlier, man. Are you getting into baseball now?
See, here's the thing.
Because this is my biggest concern out of all the sports teams. Mm-hmm.
You're a baseball head.
It's not just that. It's just like we were talking earlier online, so I wanted to bring it up here, is that unlike the NHL and unlike the NBA, Major League Baseball is allowing each team to play in their home park. Obviously, except the Jays can't.
Well, the Toronto Blue Jays are homeless.
They're homeless. Oh,
Baltimore, bro.
The Toronto Blue Jays are currently the squeegee kids of Major League Baseball.
But before we get into the Jays not being able to play at home or being the only team who can't, are you down with this idea that all of the teams should be traveling? Because it seems to me like what you just finished saying was how impressed you are with the NBA taking precaution. It doesn't seem like MLB has done half as much in terms of precaution, given the current state of things.
I think it's harder given that they're not enclosed in a bubble. Uh-huh. I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah, where they play is it, but you're talking about where they live technically could be, I don't know what kind of, like a village, like what they do in the Olympics or a bubble, if you want to call it a bubble village, however you can set it up so that all players are in a certain living location, a hotel, I don't know, whatever. But what I'm saying is, with all the traveling that has to be done, this is the concern, whether they come across the border or not. Now, for us here in Toronto, no one's going to see the games anyways. And I agree with the government in saying we don't want all your COVID cases coming up here. But down there, they're still traveling between about 27 different cities or whatever. So that's still potentially spreading it all over the country. So my concern isn't so much about us here because they're not coming up here. But the players themselves are still have to travel, unlike the NBA and unlike the NHL. What's your stance on that? Because I think that's crazy.
Here's my belief, and I don't know as much about what baseball is doing in COVID prevention as much as I'm aware of what they're doing in the Disney bubble, because I've been very on top of that story. But my belief is the safest people in America right now are pro athletes. Really? I don't care if they're UFC fighters. I don't care if they're basketball players, baseball sure. players, hockey players, because they are the only people in the country that have 24-hour medical staff okay. dedicated to them. They are getting their temperature checks multiple times a day. They're getting a COVID test every single day. Whereas, yeah. you know, people like us, if we have a COVID concern, even getting a test is a challenge, right? So I think those are the safest people out there. And I understand the concerns. Well, they're on the field together. They're combating. They're sweating on each other.
I don't know okay? if you saw either of the exhibition games this past week with the Sox and Jays, but like there's even players, some, not all, wearing masks during the game. Coaches are wearing sure. masks and stuff. And sure. I thought that was odd as hell.
It is weird in baseball to wear. Go ahead, Ted.
I think that just sends the message to everybody out there. Like, listen, if we can go out here and do this, listen, you can wear a mask when you go to the store. We're out here as professional athletes in this blistering heat, in this, you know, whatever the environment is, and we're wearing masks as well. Come on now.
Agree with
you know
it.
What I mean?
And that
is a social message, because if you have that platform and so many people watching and stuff like that, yeah, some of y'all should, right? They all need to follow the same formula that the UFC has followed and just build, like go to an island, do your thing, set it up, right? Everybody like, listen, this is what we're talking about, because the NBA has essentially done that, right? They've gone to an island, they've isolated, and they're doing their thing. If the rest, instead of flying back and forth from city to city, that's where the problem is going to be, right? In the NFL, we've already canceled the preseason for everything, right? Mm-hmm. Is the regular season even going to happen? I don't know. So listen,
I want to make this point, because we haven't really pounded this home that right. hard over the past few weeks. And I want to state that this COVID shit isn't a joke. And there's far too many of y'all who get on my motherfucking timeline and shit like that, who, by the way, I'm just done arguing with people now, because, you know, not that it was necessary, but now I actually have COVID in my actual family. And right. when people are calling it a hoax, and people are saying it's all bullshit, and people are saying we're sheep for wearing a mask, it's like, motherfucker, tell that to the people who are actually sick. And I'm sick of having to explain this to people. So everybody listening, everybody watching, for real, the parts that they, when I say they, medical experts, they, people are yeah. using the, talking about the government, your sheep to the government. Like, I'm not listening to the motherfucking government. If the government says send your kid to school in September and COVID's not here, I'm still not doing it. I'm listening to medical experts who say, you know how to help prevent this thing? Cover your mouth and your nose. So wear sure, a mask. Right? And the fact that people have such problems with that is beyond me. And I'm not willing to argue it anymore. The shit is serious and it's not just going away.
But to that point, I still believe the safest people in the United States are the athletes that have 24-hour medical support.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm not against a restart of any of the major sports. I'm just not. That's my stance right now.
Given that information, I can understand. I mean, that would be the case anyways. The athletes always have to have medical right. staff nearby every game, every, you name it, no question. From that perspective, I understand. Why I thought it was odd to see a guy with a mask on the field is because if the precautions are that serious, and if they are testing, and like you said, I don't know if MLB is doing the same thing NBA is. I don't. But if they're doing that, and also if they're in their own version of a bubble or the island that Ted mentioned, maybe you don't have to worry about wearing them on the field, because to Ted's point, yes, it can be done, but it's got to be hard yeah. to do while yeah. you're there. I'm seeing the shortstop wearing a mask. I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, it's just also a sign that the shit ain't over and that we're all supposed to be taking these precautions, to your point, Ted.
Fellas, our first guest is here. So why don't we go ahead and introduce him, bring him into the meeting here.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, our first Look guest tonight, he's been working the comedy circuit for well over 20 years. Stop interrupting me, jackass. Our first guest tonight's been working the comedy circuit for well over 20 years. He's appeared at some of the most prestigious clubs and venues on the continent, from the Improv, Yuck Yucks, Club 54, the Comedy Factory, and countless others. You've seen him featured at Sirius XM, the Just for Laughs Festival, and the Canadian Comedy Awards. He has a brand new YouTube channel and currently has a two-hour-long special on Amazon Prime. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the king of crowd work, Jeff Leeson. What's up, man?
Wow. Wow, that was an incredible introduction. Thank you.
I'm the king of Zoom work.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I just cut that out and just take that with me everywhere and just have them play it?
You can take me with you everywhere, and we'll be a duo.
No, okay, deal. Don't do it. Do not. No.
You're not wicked us. It doesn't work that way. You're not wicked us.
You just
gotta have to. I have to be a hot girl to travel with Jeff.
Got a gremlin.
The whole come along with you thing requires titties. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Right.
Is it just me, or does Titty and Jeff Leeson look like a dope tag team?
Oh yeah.
I think we tried. Like, it's funny that you segue like that, because if we go back to how I met Jeff, was he contacted us to do a bit for his content and stuff like that, and wanted to for about what, like 13 and a half minutes, wanted to try his hand at being a professional wrestler.
Okay.
He was quite impressive.
It was funny as hell,
and it made me a huge fan. And you know, I love watching this guy. Listen, Jeff, you are, in my opinion, you are the equivalent in our world, in my world of professional wrestling. You are the hardest working indie guy out there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the big special and stuff like that, but you do, like, you're pounding the pavement, you're knocking down doors, and you're traveling all across the country doing your thing. How's that been working out for you?
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. As you know, I have a huge respect for the wrestling industry, and particularly the independent wrestling, because it's so closely related to stand-up comedy and what comedians go through. And, you know, those early gigs and all the road, you know, the road stuff. So I really appreciate that, man. It's obviously a little tough right now. Like I had, you know, 50 something shows canceled, the whole American tour canceled. I was in California. I had to come all the way back and drive. Like, it was supposed to be a tour all the way back and then across Canada and back down to California for some stuff that was, I was sort of getting going down there. And so that was all gone, and I just had me and my buddy just road tripped it all the way back to London. And this is a weird time for me, because I'm used to being always, you know, packed up and ready to go, or, you know, hotel room to hotel room. So, you know, now it's just here in what probably looks to be a bunker, which is this. You know? So it's just been down here eating and growing a beard for the last few months.
It looks gross.
But Jeff, do you use this time? Man.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. Found a Cheeto in it this morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know, Jeff.
I don't even eat Cheetos. That's the weird part. So anyway, you're right about the gross thing. Anyway.
Somebody in your bubble.
Yeah.
Jeff, I was going to ask you, because I know that you pride yourself, your comedic style, in no two shows are the same, right?
Yes.
That's one of your things.
You
improv, you work with crowds, no two shows are the same. That being said, I'm curious if, when 50 shows get canceled and you're sitting in a quarantine, do you spend any of that time trying to produce some new material?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I have a lot of stuff written. I have pages and pages of just thoughts that I've had and, you know, stuff. So a lot of that happens super late at night. You're like trying to go to sleep, and it just, something will hit you, and you'll be up for a couple hours just kind of writing. That's my writing style, if any at all. But my focus really has been on content, because I did all these shows and they were you know, like you said, every show's different and it's very personal for the audiences and it's very unique to that show. And so I had all these films from a tour we did across Canada and I never really did anything with the footage. So it was time to start going through and looking at that and producing more content that way. In addition to, you know, sort of letting my mind come up with some stuff for future shows as well.
That's dope, dude, because you have been putting out a lot more online content, stuff like that, right? And I mean, I got to go back and so let's talk about your content, because your channel makes me laugh. Like, legit makes me laugh and stuff like that, because, I mean, did you know that that dude was blind?
Oh, no. No,
like that's the beautiful thing about
we need more of a setup here.
You don't need a setup. Here's the thing.
That is kind of weird if you don't
channel,
know.
on his channel, obviously all of these videos. And as you're going through, this is why you need to go there and check it out. Because, I mean, Jeff had an incident. Tell us about the incident. I can't even do it justice.
Doing a show in a bar in a small town, and as I came on stage, I noticed that there was a guy that was not quite looking at me.
Oh,
he was looking out the window and then he was looking at the speaker. And I sort of, you know, I mentioned that, and as I would for, you know, anyone, but the stage was out front and he was sort of to the side and behind. So all I really saw was the angle of his face outside. I couldn't see his face. So it turned out that he was blind. It's not funny, but he was blind. And then immediately somebody said he's blind. Well, actually that's the thing. Not immediately. They let me go for a little bit. And then eventually they said,
right,
by the way, he's blind. And it was, you know, it was just like, okay, well, I wanted to let him know, well, someone should tell you then. You've been looking out the window and looking at the speaker. I don't know why I have to do this. Your friend should have told you this.
All right.
And so it was immediately flipping it on them, because they should, you know, you should tell me right away. Don't let me go on and on like some kind of idiot. So anyway, and so it was a great reaction. The guy loved it. You know, in fact, he has been to many comedy shows. He said he sat in the front row a lot. A lot of times people, when they find out he's blind, they're like, oh, shit. Can I say shit on here?
Sorry. No.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. But anyway, so
the only thing that we can't say.
You can say fuck, all of that, but not shit.
Oh, okay.
Not
okay. Yeah. Sorry.
And shit's too extreme.
You can say fuck shit.
Okay.
But you can't just like, it has to, like, motherfucker. You can say that, you know, you can't just say fucker or mother.
We respect fecal matter on this show and want to be respectful when addressing that community.
Okay, yeah, fair
because
enough.
Because you haven't heard the stories about Danny O's bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
No, I have not. I'm intrigued. Yeah. Where do I find these stories?
Let me sum up for you. He's a long doo-dooer.
A long doo-dooer?
Yes.
Is that what I heard there?
That's the verb. Doo-dooer.
See, doo-dooer is acceptable.
And that's, of course, because you can't say shit on this show. That's why you have to use the word doo-dooer.
Right. And doo-doo's funnier.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Doo-doo is very funny, man. Doo-doo is one of those universally, it's funny when you're a child because that's all you know. And it's funny when you're 80 years old because you're doing it in your own pants again.
I was just going to say, you remind me of something going way back, right? To when Tid and I first started broadcasting together back in 1996. And back then, the internet was just for outlaws and nerds. And we started doing an online radio show. And Tid, I know you remember this because we had this conversation along with the guys who were producing us, George Strombolopoulos and Bobby Mackowitz and Jeff Merrick. And we had this conversation about, do we cuss or do we not cuss? And Tid's like, you're fucking right, we cuss. The guys, George, Jeff, and Bob, they took a really successful radio show that was on terrestrial radio. They brought it to this internet radio station, and they had always done this thing where they worked around cussing because they're on like AM radio.
Right.
And now they started cussing, and they go, shit, it was funnier when we had to work around the swearing.
True. Yeah.
So yeah, but there was a difference. There was a difference between what they did and what we were doing.
I know. We were just
we were outlaws. We were the you know what I mean? Like, this was brand new. This was during like ECW and Extreme Wrestling days. Our show was an extreme wrestling show. So I mean, we were just following the game plan, and it worked out really good because my vernacular is really fucking horrible. So
tell me if you agree with this, Jeff, because to Donnie's point, I think cussing is an art form. I've seen comedians, and I say the same thing with hip hop artists or any artist for that matter. There's people who use it and it makes the content in the comic sense, in the comic era, funnier. Sometimes the music, the lyrics are stronger. And then other times it hurts it. It all depends how it's used. If it's overused, if it's played, you can make something not funny by cussing, or a lyric not dope by having curse words in it. Jeff, what's your take on that? Like, how do you use it as an art form, or do you that much in your act? Like, and also, do you see other comics doing it in ways that just make you cringe?
Yeah, well, I would say you're absolutely right. It can be, you know, it can make stuff much better, and it can hurt stuff. And I think the key in stand-up comedy, at least, is you have to know the audience you're in front of. If you're in front of an older audience that's at like a dinner and a show, and they're sort of dressed up, you know, you're not going to go really, you're not going to cuss a lot. You might say one fuck. I always reserve one fuck to see how they react. Because sometimes they'll totally flip on you, and it's like this classy group wants to talk about all kinds of dirty shit, and you're like, wow, I didn't expect this, you know?
Yeah.
So I always kind of have a tester. But then if you're doing like a nightclub and it's a 10:30 show and it's young people and they're kind of hammered and they're swearing amongst themselves, I'm not going to come out and give you a fucking church service. I'm going to give you what you're there for, because for me, I'm a performer that wants everybody to leave happy. You know, I want them to think they had a good time. And for me personally, I can craft it around whatever they want. I'm doing corporate shows for companies and it's totally like squeaky clean. And I'm doing nightclub shows with people that are in their 30s getting fucking hammered and, you know, doing decent enough at both that it works.
Is there crossover in the material? Like, in other words, is there a joke that you might tell in both, but one's clean and you have to clean it up? And does it work worse or better for you? Have you noticed that? Like, same joke, clean, not so good as when it's dirty, or vice versa?
You're talking about like when Two Live Crew did the Nasty As They Wanna Be album and they did the Clean As You Wanna Be album. And everyone knows Face Down Ass Up was way better than Face Down Booty Up.
There's a great example right there.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I'm not sure of the question now. But
can you take a dirty joke and clean it up and have the same effect?
Okay.
He's still looking at Face Down and Asses Up.
Yeah, man. I was trying to Google that. The way we wanted some images. Yeah. Sorry, my mind wanders when I hear things like that.
I hear you.
So I would say for me, it's mostly an attitude and how I'm presenting it. And then, you know, it's not really about like, does this joke work and this joke work? It's how I would talk to somebody in a nightclub compared to how I would talk to the boss company.
Right.
And knowing how to walk that line where I can be like, I'm going to take slight like jabs at you that I think your employees would like, but I think that you're not going to get offended by. Right. And then same thing in a nightclub. I'm going to say things that are going to push the line where it's like, oh, are you really asking that? But they're so hammered. It's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll tell you anything. And then it's about walking that line. And I think for most comics, it's about like the overall attitude. You're going to give a joke more aggressively. Whereas in a corporate setting during like company tea, you're gonna give it a little more a more gentle approach, you know.
And see, that's so the art form of it. It's not just the words, it's how you deliver.
So here's the question, because you talk about doing the corporate gigs, and we've heard this from a bunch of other comedians and stuff like that. How many times have you been come to with the list of, okay, don't talk about this, okay, but we want you to, this is the boss's name, this is what he's into, but don't talk about, you know what I mean? Have you been given the list?
in my day-to-day life, as people know, when I'm not doing this, I am a corporate guy, and I've had that experience where we hire comedians to come right. in and yeah. do our conferences and do like,
what do you haven't hired Jeff?
What's well, your job? I have to know your day job. Can you say it on here?
We'll talk about it off air.
But, oh, amazing. I'm so curious because this is the only thing I know about you. So I'm going to be fascinated by whatever the fuck it is you do day to day.
I'll tell you about it off air. But that being said, I've had it happen.
Judging by what's on your mantle, I'm going to say something in like design, graphic design.
Not that cool, bro.
You're not. He you're is not that cool. I've done that job.
He is. I've sorry. Done he is. He is. He
is guessing.
I'm a creative
involved.
Guy.
He is involved with computers. He is involved with
whatever
computers.
That means. Who isn't? There you go. Other than okay. Dan. Exactly.
Got it. He steals computers. I got it.
Off the back of a truck. But yeah. I've had it happen where we had a comedian that was booked for a corporate gig, and the person that the comedian spoke with who booked them was very loose with their language. Yeah. Like, yeah, man, you're going to fucking warm them up and it'll be good. So I think the guy took that as a sign, like, oh, yeah. this guy's yeah. like talking right. to me like a regular dude. But that right. guy's just the HR intern, you know, yeah, right. and now this comedian gets on stage and he starts ripping on the CEO of the company. He starts wow. ripping on and everyone's just like,
wow.
like yeah. deadpan. Everyone's afraid to laugh. Everyone's
has that
afraid
ever happened?
To react.
Yeah, has that happened to you, Jeff?
Okay, well, versions of that, yes. I've had horror stories, absolutely. But
yeah.
that is what you just said there is the biggest key is it was the HR assistant who's like, you know? Right. So what I always make sure to do is whenever I get to the gig, I ask whoever is the most, the highest person I can talk to, right. what are the language requirements here? And I try to get the yeah. owner, if the owner is there, what are the boundaries here? Because if the owner is laughing, everyone's having yeah. a great time.
No doubt.
Yeah, because everyone's looking at the boss.
That's for right. Sure. Of course. That's right.
Can
so
we
you always have to know. My advice whenever comedians start getting into corporate stuff is always know what the boss is cool with. No one else's opinion matters. No.
Jeff, let me ask you a totally different question.
Please.
I'm just curious to know. I'm a huge comedy fan, and more to the point, I'm a huge fan of the art of comedy. I love listening to a guy like Jerry Seinfeld talk about the craft of comedy
yeah.
and the way he puts together a bit. And to me, the way he takes things that are common everyday occurrences and crafts it with language into a bit is genius. And to me, Jerry Seinfeld, hands down, is on my personal Mount Rushmore of comedy. I'm curious who would be yours.
Yeah.
Great question. And actually, Seinfeld is the guy who kind of got me started in comedy and the first one that I recognized as like, oh, that's a thing you can do
right
as a career. So and my act, to be honest, when I was really young, I started super young at like 14. So from like 14 to 19, that was my act, was very much Seinfeld-esque.
Hold on. Is your pen name Seth Rogen?
No. I get that a lot though. It's Seth.
Because that was him, right? He started at like 13 or 14 too.
Yeah, yeah. He started super young. Same type of deal. Yeah. Chappelle as well. Chappelle started at like 15, I think.
Right.
He's got to be up there.
Bunch Chappelle? Of smart asses.
Oh, yeah. He's on a lot of Mount Rushmore.
I mean, he's one of the hottest today. But in terms of your all-time Mount Rushmore of comedy, who would it be, Jeff?
Well, I would say so. Seinfeld for this is for me. I would say Seinfeld, Seinfeld for sure. Richard Pryor and George Carlin are two that have to be up there. Have to put Don Rickles on there because Don, like my style being very off the cuff. Don Rickles was like one of a kind of the only person on there. Only person that was kind of doing that thing. And then the other two that I would put on there is Eddie Murphy, because Delirious and Raw are like those two specials, particularly Delirious, started so many careers. Like they started so many of the great comedy careers of people. So like I have to put Eddie Murphy up there. And like the next person to go on, in my opinion, as you said, is Dave Chappelle. He would be like, if they're looking at, okay, who's up next, and when we add somebody, Chappelle's got to be top of the list.
So what I learned, all-time favorite.
Delirious is a great special.
Oh, Delirious is like, it's like it's as close to perfection for a comedy special as you can get.
Absolutely. I agree.
You know? I'm sure there's things Eddie Murphy looks at and is like, I would do this differently and I would do that differently. But as a pure viewer, it's like, you know, it's amazing. But as a comedian, it's almost everything gets an applause break, if not like almost like a standing O for every single bit. Right. And it's funny. And you're laughing with them as opposed to being like, why the fuck do they find that so funny?
Right.
It's so, like genuinely hilarious.
Yes,
I learned three things from your Mount Rushmore, Jeff.
Yes.
I learned you love black people. I learned you hate women. And I learned that you don't know how many people are on Mount Rushmore.
how many people are on Mount Rushmore?
It's four.
How many did I name?
He's got like my starting 12
coming off the bench.
You said comedy Mount Rushmore. I didn't know we were replacing the term Mount Rushmore.
I mean, that's what makes it difficult. You know what I mean? Because then you got to think about like. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield. I mean, is he worthy of being on that? For look at all the careers that he started and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Don Rickles was an interesting choice. Like the other ones are kind of like those are givens. Like they deserve. You know what I mean? Don is one of these guys. Like I'm from Vegas, so I know the Don Rickles history and the stories and stuff like that. And he's one of those guys, like either you love him or you're like this sick son of a bitch. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's what made most people love him was the fact that he had that first crass guy, that first like, whoa, what the fuck is your problem kind of guy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I know people who hate him. Like,
there's a very subtlety that Don Rickles really has because he can make you feel really bad about yourself without really hating him in the long run, right? Later on in life, it turned into guys like Patrice. You know what I mean? Patrice O'Neill was fantastic at that. Like, unbelievable talent. But everybody looked at it like Don Rickles was just this, you know, this like crass dude. But you didn't see the nuances in what he was doing and what he was saying. So, like, that's kudos, man. That's totally cool. I did not know that about you. That's
awesome. I think on this week's episode, when we post it to the Godfathers of Podcasting.com in the links section where we always put featured links of this episode, in addition to Jeff Leeson's YouTube page, I'm going to put my favorite George Carlin bit because he is just an absolute master of the English language. And he is someone that all young comics should pay attention to. Jeff, we are right up against the clock. Our next guest is waiting in the wings. Quickly, for those out there that are discovering you for the first time, they want to find out more, they want to see some of the online content you're producing, where can they go and how can they get in touch with you if they want to book you for a gig?
In lieu of that, because if you want to find me, just Google Jeff Leeson, it's all there. But can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Can I tell you just one story about
Tid? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. When I was I was a teenager and probably earlier than that, like when I was like 12 to whatever, my grandfather used to take me to all these independent wrestling shows. Okay. And I was a huge wrestling fan and I loved WWE and WCW and I just watched everything that was on. But he also took me to all these shows. And there was always this guy that was on like every show at these independent things that I went to named Notorious T.I.D. Okay.
Good name.
Yeah. And I always, every time we left these shows, my grandpa would be like, so who, you know, and there was like a headliner. Like one of them was, there was like Flash Funk was at one of them and Jerry Lawler was at like another one. And I can't remember, but there was always somebody, but this guy was always like, he would be in two segments on the show. He'd come out at the beginning and say something and people would boo him. And he was just, and every time we left, my grandpa would be like, so did you like the show? And I'd say, yeah. And he'd go, who was your favorite guy? And I go, that notorious TID guy was like, he was fucking badass, man. And he always felt to me, at these independent shows, like, if you tried to fuck with him after the show was done, he was the most likely to kick your ass. And I, so
that's
I
a fact.
Like, yeah,
that's a fact. And I have stories on that,
man. So, and I've never got, I don't, I think like, I think when I did the thing with you and Ben, and Ben. I meant to tell you then, but I don't know if I thought about it cause you were Tid. And I never, like you introduced yourself as Tid or Chris or whatever. And I like never thought about it. And then later on, I thought, holy shit, I think that was the fucking guy that I used to see at all these independent wrestling shows. So I, when you asked me to do this, I just wanted to, I just wanted to tell that story. Cause
you were
wicked, man. Wow. And it was always like, because, you know, as comedy, in some of these independent shows, some people are shitty. But And so some of the first acts and stuff like that, and the first, you know, opening matches, like, they're okay or whatever. But he was always a guy that was like, you remembered him when you left, which was always like a huge
this
scared me when I was a kid, to be perfectly honest.
This was probably back in the day when he used to still come to the ring with a plunger covered in barbed wire and jump off the top rope and break his neck back in those days. And then he got smarter and said, I'm not doing anything. Right?
Listen.
There was a show I watched. I think it was in like Niagara
Falls. No, it was, you know,
time where he came out and like two little guys like didn't want to fuck with him and like ran away. And I was like, yes, that's so badass. This guy doesn't even have to fight these people. This is amazing.
Wow. Well, that's a lot better than I thought. I thought I was going to about to be like hashtag me too or something. By Jeff Leeson.
Did touch you, Jeff?
Amazing.
Did Tid touch you?
Not inappropriately. Okay, we got to go. All right. All right. We're out of here. We're going to commercial break right now. Thank you.
Go to JeffLeesonComedy.com, everybody. That's JeffLeesonComedy.com. Jeff, let's do this again sometime, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, all right, man. That's Jeff Leeson, everybody.
Maybe I'll see you at your day job.
We'll work on it.
All right.
It's a good dude. Listen, she's been waiting patiently in the wings. We're going to bring her in right now. She is our featured guest of the evening. From somewhere in Philadelphia, born and raised in a wrestling ring is where she spent her early days. She gained international fame back in 1999 when she and four other models you've never heard from again were hired by World Championship Wrestling because that's what they did back then. They hired everybody. She carved out a niche for herself as the buff redhead with a killer smile and was instantly a fan favorite. Determined to further her passion, she went on to Boston and trained under the legendary Killer Kowalski and went on to compete in the ring for the next 19 years. During that time, she competed in various muscle and fitness competitions and was always a top standout. This woman has also become a staple on the convention scene. She's respected for her outstanding cosplay and her work on the big screen, where she's been nominated for awards thanks to outstanding performances in various dramas and horrors. She's been featured in Muscle Mag, Playboy, and her very own comic book. And if that's not enough, she's a scholar, a writer, a photographer, an entrepreneur, a chicken mom, and an all-around great chick. She's here, and everyone knows her as, she likes to say, the nerd with the boobs. And to paraphrase our slogan, she's the woman who was OnlyFans before OnlyFans was even called OnlyFans. Ladies and gentlemen, this is April Hunter.
Wow. Can you just follow me around in life and do that intro everywhere?
Yo,
that was amazing.
Don, do you give everyone a script to say that? Because he's been getting that a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're now out of time, so we got to go. Thank you very much. That's
I'm
good.
I'm good.
He's the intro master.
Through my load. There's the pop. Good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
April, how the hell are you?
I'm just lovely. Oh, my dog hears you guys and just super excited.
Just saw you with a cat. You got a dog. Who else is all there with you?
Like, there's a chicken somewhere.
Yeah, I heard about the chicken.
Stop. Thank you. Yeah, the chickens are outside. I have like a little bit of a zoo here. I never had kids, so I take it out on my pets, unfortunately. So I have a dog, a cat, chickens, and anybody else who will adopt me, basically.
Wow. So.
I feel that. I have a few furred creatures running around here myself.
Yeah, he's got like 20 dogs there.
No.
Yeah, one's under his chin.
Right now we have, I know, right? Right now we have 12 here right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we do some, well, you know, it's the rescue thing, right? They're in and out,
Right, that's right. Do, okay, right? okay.
Yeah, it's dope.
Cool.
April, you always seem to have a lot going on, especially pre-pandemic. You seem to be one of the busiest, hardest working people, whether it's a convention, whether it's a photo shoot, whether it's building content for your website, whether it's, you know, going out and taking some bumps in a ring somewhere, whatever the hell it is you're doing, you always seem to be jam-packed. So what's it been like for the last 4 months having your schedule just go, no, stop?
You know, that actually didn't exactly happen for me. It just kind of shifted.
Okay.
So all my appearances were canceled for the year, like everybody else's. And I ended up opening another website, just like, shoot me, you know, another one on OnlyFans. So that one's like cosplay and lingerie with the option of pay-per-view. But now all these sites are keeping me really busy, but your only appearances are coming from like this stuff and websites and things like that. So, I also have a candle and soap business, and the soap part got really busy. So,
yeah, I remember a few years ago you started this candle business. What inspired that? Where did that even come from?
I have a corgi and she farts and it's really bad.
Okay.
And I live in Florida and our houses are closed up like 9 months a year. And I was just like, this is horrible, this dog. So I'm like, I need something natural. So I started doing soy candles.
I'm fully expecting some, like, you know, nature and I'm a witch and Wiccan and all of this. And this is why I got into it. But no, meanwhile, she's like, fuck it. My dog farts.
That's such an corgis. April Hunter answer.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Is she in business farting corgis? Because that would be amazing.
I know, right? Well, it's not terribly far off. I mean, I am a bit of a pagan. Like, I was just reading this.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, it really came down to like Bella farting and me needing to have really strong scented candles, and they were super expensive to buy. And now I know why.
Yeah.
I understand it now. But I got
it's
really
a process,
busy with
huh?
the pandemic. Huh?
It's a process trying to like do candles. Like I can remember trying to do it, and you know, with the oils and the proper and the everything, and blah blah blah. And I was like, screw it. Yeah. We're going to go buy candles.
Ted, you tried to make scented candles?
Yeah. Bro,
stuff I don't know about you, bro.
Married 20 years, man, to the same kind of person with the rune books and the Wiccan balls and the whole thing. So wow. Like I get all of this. This is why when she was talking about it, I live that life right now. So I get it. And patience be to you, because I got fed up and I'm like, yo, we're going to Bed Bath & Beyond and I'm just going to buy some.
Your wife and April are pretty much spirit animals.
Amazing.
You know? They are not dissimilar. I was going to ask you, like you mentioned that during this pandemic, you decided to open up your own OnlyFans. You've been running aprilhunter.com forever. And
yes.
Forever, right? And people have been able to go on there, and you've got your monthly subscriptions, and you've got people that pay to see as much of April Hunter as they like. So why? I'm just trying to understand why the diversion to the OnlyFans instead of just continuing to focus on building your own content where you own 100% of everything that comes in.
Well, I also have Patreon as well.
Patreon.
And clips for sale, because different people find different avenues.
Right.
Okay.
So some people are really into going to OnlyFans, and some people with Patreon, I have a combination of like my photo shoots, all my writing, things I paint. Like it's kind of That's actually my favorite site because it's got everything. It's all encompassing. And then my own website is caters more to like the probably over 18 crowd because it's more nudity than anything else. So it's like, people come in from this, that, and the other, or they find you through here or there. You never know. So I'm just trying to throw enough shit against the internet wall and see what sticks, basically.
I hear that.
Makes sense.
She just keeps throwing her boobs against the wall to see if they stick.
Yeah, I'm like, does this work? How's that? So, I'm milking it. Literally, I'm milking it for all it's worth. Yeah.
Okay, that's a different website altogether.
AprilMilks.com.
Wow.
She'll have it online by tomorrow morning, folks.
April, I do got to ask you, though, because you mentioned you're in Florida, right?
Yeah.
How bad is it down there, and how are you doing? How have you been doing? And what is it like for you, like, going in and out of the house? Because I have family down there. I've just discovered that COVID has impacted. And I have legitimate concerns for everybody in Florida, including my family. And I'm just curious what life is like for you right now.
alone. that's what it's like. I started sequestering back in February, a month before anybody else did.
What a great word.
I have autoimmune. So I have autoimmune issues. So I thought, about February 28th, I went in. And I was used to working from home and ordering groceries anyway. And I was actually surprised. I was surprised it affected me like it did. I think it was the fact that I couldn't go out and do things. I remember trying to go to the gym a couple of times in February. And I sat down, and one machine I adjusted 5 freaking times. And each time I adjust the machine, I'm sitting here with the hand sanitizer going like this.
Right.
I knew it was coming. My brother is in the military weapons. He told me in January, he's like, it's coming. It's going to hit hard. Be prepared. So in February, I'm like on this leg machine. I adjusted it 5 times. I squirted the crap on my hands. I'm doing the water bottle after that. And I'm like, there's no way. This is the germiest place in the freaking world. I can't be here. And that was the first place I quit and just started, getting stuff in my back room to work out. Mm. How it is in Florida. Oh God, how do I even describe this to you guys? Being Canadian, because I was married to a Canadian for 9 years and I know what it's like to live on both sides.
I've always said you're an honorary Canadian, but Tid's not Canadian.
Yeah, I'm not.
Tid's a dirty American.
I'm an American.
You look very American.
She means trash.
I'm not sure how to take that.
You look like my people. Oh God. Okay. So Canada is a country of morals and America is a country of laws.
Yeah.
So when you are supposed to do the right thing in Canada, people will do it because they just do. Down here, you have to make a freaking law for people to do it. And even then, people are just not going to do it because they don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And in Florida is one of those states where you can't mandate something. You have to make it a law because people will sit there and go, it's mandated. It's not a law. I don't have to wear a mask. So that's what's going on. And then you have people walking into businesses going, well, there's no proof that this mask thing works, so why can't I come in here and shop? So you're having people argue about it.
Everything's a battle.
It is a battle. And so it is freaking exhausting. So I've stepped away from it. I can't handle it anymore mentally. Same. I'm exhausted. I spend a lot of my time counseling people who are having like freaking breakdowns over butting heads all the time or over losing every booking that they've had all year long, or like Hollywood just completely shut down and there are people out there paying lots of money to live out there for an opportunity that just is not there. Just different things, like many of us are we're older and we're doing comic cons and conventions and films and losing a year of our careers and we hope it's not longer sucks. It sucks. For us here, WrestleMania came to Tampa, and that was brilliant because we had WrestleCon, and it was a big deal. And we lost all of that. And I don't know.
I think for the people that are performers, like our previous guest Jeff Leeson, who's a stand-up comic, performers, musicians, you know, people that are involved in the arts, people who depend on travel and live audiences. This has been crippling, absolutely crippling. Yeah. And obviously, like I said in my intro, right? Like, you are someone that anytime there's a big convention, you can pretty much bet April Hunter is going to be there. And you've carved out a niche for that. And I think it's almost to the point where, you know, the big conventions, they know they want you there. So that's gotta be just a huge adjustment just to your mental state, not just, and your financial state.
Yeah.
You know, the difficult part is the sameness, because I mark my life in a way by what's coming up as far as trips, tours, photo shoots, plans.
Right.
And I have friends from having traveled the world and traveled everywhere. I have friends from all over the place. So sometimes I'll take a booking that doesn't pay that well just to be able to see like a really good friend.
Sure.
And stay with her for, you know, a day or two because I get to, or, you know, get a, somewhere, you know, or and not having that. I was saying to somebody, this is the first time in my life that I've spent 365 days under this roof. I mean, part of that is crazy, because my dog is, she's ill with a degenerative myopathy and she's in a wheelchair and paralyzed. So I have to take care of her also, but you know, it's the combination of both things. I have never in my life spent a year under my own roof in my own bed, ever, even when I was a kid, you know, slumber parties and grandparents.
Yep.
Weird to have so much sameness.
Yeah. That's, and that's the part that leads a lot of people to
non-creativity,
mental health issues and really shutting down. And I'll tell you, near the start of this pandemic, that was my issue, right? Being locked in my place all day long. And that's when I reached out to my brothers here and said, guys, how about we do a podcast again? You know, it's been a few years. And if nothing else, it breaks up the monotony of the week. It gives me an excuse to see my brothers and to do that and to have some fun. And it's a creative outlet. And at least that way, we're exuding some kind of creative energy. That was really the... that was really the birth of this show, was just the pandemic was doing a number on my mental state. I want to switch gears with you, April, and I want to ask you about something that was hugely in the news last month. You spent obviously many, many years of your career working in the wrestling business. And there were stories that were all over Twitter, all over social media last month from dozens of different female wrestlers, female performers, who were giving their own Me Too stories under the hashtag speaking out. As a result, several prominent, well-known male wrestlers have been punished, terminated, canceled, as the kids say, and have been, have had their lives changed forever. As far as I know, rightfully so, because the amount of stuff that came forward was overwhelming. I'm curious. I don't think it's possible that a woman like yourself, who is super friendly, which stupid men interpret as flirty, a woman who looks the way you do, who works the amount that you do, travels the amount that you do, I don't think it's even possible in my brain to fathom that you haven't had your own type of story.
I have a lot of stories, actually. I liken it to, you know, like you grow up in a house with a alcoholic mother and a bipolar father, and you walk on eggshells and you never know when something's going to get thrown across the wall, or a wall's going to get punched in, or, you know, your mom's going to pass out on the floor and pee herself or something like that. And that's your normal. Right. And then you move out of that house and you start experiencing like your friend's parents, and you realize, oh my God, that was not normal. That was so far from normal. And I cannot believe that I got through that. That's the wrestling business for me. What I dealt with on a regular basis there, mentally, physically, in the locker rooms, through like message boards with people, all like every possible like people trying to wedge between relationships, whether it's tag team partners or romantic, like just the stuff. I have so many stories, and when I read the speaking out stuff, it's true. Like, I know it's true. I know some of who they're talking about. I can't make that up. You can't. And we're not allowed to talk about it. You know, we're not allowed to. We're told in school specifically, if you're a woman, keep your mouth shut. Like, it's very, Handmaid's Tale, basically. Like, you are to be seen and not heard. And by the way, you better look pretty freaking good. So that's your role in wrestling. Wow. And that's just, you know, you get into it. They weed out the ones who talk. They weed out the ones that don't look so good. They weed out the ones who are going to cause a problem. Because anyone that's like, this is bullshit, they're like, they're out. You know what I mean? The rest of us are just, okay.
So, and not to be too crass, but in often cases, the promoters are going to weed out the ones that won't put out, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've had that happen as well, right? Where someone's booking you under the expectation that, oh, I'll bring in April Hunter and something's going to happen.
The advice I was given or I picked up on rather was always let them think they have a chance, but never date in the business. So that was kind of,
that's dangerous.
Was my guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably how I work so much.
But I mean, here's the thing. And this is
a chance, never date them.
Here's the thing. Like, as this whole thing was going on and I've been around, I mean, I've been in the business for a minute or two myself, and as these stories were being said, and you know, there was a lot of like, yep, I know that person, I know that story. Yep, I know that person, I know that story. For all of those, they're still like countable on two hands with not enough fingers of people that I know of, that I know personal stories. It's not my story to tell. Right. And that's the hardest thing. It's not my story to tell. I wish and I pray nothing but the best for those people and their story. All I can do is be a supportive back to it if they decide to, but you're never going to get that out of me. And that's very much an old school mentality, I think, now, because nowadays everybody's like, if my friend says so, I'm going to spill it for him. You know, and that's how we end up with this broken telephone thing as well. Like, the story changes along the way, maybe for better, maybe for worse. It doesn't matter. A lot of people like are telling stories that aren't necessarily theirs. I wish more people were comfortable enough to tell their own story. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, that's the exact phrasing I used too. I said, I'm surprised more people haven't been named.
Yeah.
There are several that I know weren't named that probably will come out eventually. But I said, I used your phrase exactly. I said, that's not my story to tell. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
do you have your own story to tell?
I was just going to ask.
That at some point,
when's the book coming out?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think when you talk about walking that dangerous line of make them think they always have a chance, but don't date them. I got to think, when you're talking about a male dominated industry of guys that are all testosterone up and guys that, you know, listen, you're a muscle chick and you're a tough chick, but if there's some 350 pound dude that says, hey, I'm going to have my way with you, April. that's a tough scenario to be in.
I actually never ran into that. I was generally treated pretty well by most of the boys in the locker room. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just because I went to Killer Kowalski's or because a lot of the guys did look out for me. The ones I had a hard time with were the ECW guys. Anybody else, for the most part, they were generally pretty cool to me. Mm-hmm. Now, the promoters and the people up top, those are where my stories lie.
Wow. Right.
So
that's the difference. That's the difference brother, in the business.
The brothers were good, and they're still really supportive. There are several guys that, you know, like the Aaron Stevens and the Ryan Nemeths and the, you know, the Drew McIntyres, they've come forth and been really supportive.
That's awesome.
And I think that's the difference between like a lot of women that were brought in that are talented or just brought in because they were talent. Right. There was a big difference. You know what I mean? Like, and you're, and so you were able to, like, all the boys were sticking up for you as well. Like, no, she's not a rat. She's not, you know what I mean? She's way more deserving. She's one of us as opposed, you know what I mean? And then that's why probably you had to deal with like the office.
Yeah.
Right. Because the boys had your back, but the office, you know, as well as I do traveling around, the office are fucking clueless.
But to Tid's point, April, when you broke into WCW, you weren't yet trained, right? You hadn't gone to Killer Kowalski yet. So it's very possible that a lot of those guys did look at you like some ring rat who was just there to entertain the boys.
Yeah.
So that may have been a scary point in time.
Well, with WCW, I traveled with a group of girls. So I was usually with Tyleen and Kim Canner and Mindy. So we kind of traveled together, and because we were all from the West Coast. So we kind of all arrived together and hung out together and everything. And I wasn't there very long. I was asked to become trained within a few months, like right away.
So you were insulated a little bit.
I was raised military, and I just knew that when you walk into a room, you announce yourself, you shake hands with people. It's just the way it is in the military, and the military and wrestling are very similar in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
And I think that's sort of what saved my ass in WCW when I first started.
Makes sense. I want to switch gears on you again. Complete 180.
Do it.
You are someone who, as long as I've been connected with you on social media, going all the way back to MySpace, you've been very public about your romantic life, or at times lack thereof. you've been very public about your dating. You've been very public about the types of things that happen when you go on dates. You've posted about things. So I wanted to play a little game with you.
Yes and no.
Well, to an extent.
I've been public about some of the stories.
Right, the stories.
Right, okay.
You don't put all your shit online.
Right.
You share some of the nuggets of gold with your fans.
Right. I was going to say, that umbrella thing sounds really bad.
So I wanted to play a little game with you. I don't know what your current relationship status is, but for the sakes of this game, you're single, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to throw some things out at you. Imagine you fall in love with someone and then you find out ... And I want to get your take. Is this a deal breaker? Is it not a deal breaker? Okay.
Ooh, okay.
So imagine falling in love with someone and then finding out he's not handy around the house. He's not good with technology. He can't cook and he doesn't know anything about cars.
Hey,
that's Dan.
Okay, hang on. I think that's not a big deal like it used to be now because of YouTube. Like, you can watch a couple of videos and be an expert.
He doesn't go on YouTube to learn how to do stuff.
he's got to know how to do that.
But I can.
Oh, okay.
Partnership.
Okay, so what's the exchange? What is he good at?
He's just, well, for the purposes of this, he's a good guy, except, and then here's the deal breaker.
Depends how good of a guy is he. You know what I mean? Like,
let's hear this.
Because that is not being handy around the house thing. I don't know. That's
he's 5'7" in light skin.
Oh, wow. It gave me an extra inch. I appreciate.
All right. So it sounds like that one's not a huge deal breaker for you.
All right.
Depends on the trade-off.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. I got one for you then.
Personal.
Okay, hold on. I got one for you then. Feet. because I know how I feel about them. Feet. Okay. Socks on or off?
Socks off.
But what if he? What if? Yeah. What if the guy refuses to take them off because he's aware that his dogs are really ugly? Is that a deal breaker?
I have run into this before. They still have to come off.
I got one. He takes longer in the washroom than you do.
Again, this is Dan.
I'm working on it.
Still not a profile
you
here.
Like, you guys are running my life down here. This is like pretty much everything I have dealt with.
Oh, wow.
As far as getting ready or just in general?
When he's in there, it's going to be a while.
Okay. You're like, talking about my ex right now, and I've already listened to that.
Okay.
But he's an ex.
Here's the question, though. Was it worth it? Was his ass clean at the end of the session? Because that's what it's all about.
I don't recall.
Oh, man. Well, then it wasn't worth it.
How about this one? April, you fall in love with a guy. Let's say this. You fell in love with him online. He's a wonderful guy. And then you arrange to get together and you meet him. He's beautiful looking. He's exactly your type physically. He's intellectual. He's well off financially, but he smells like your brother.
Deal breaker.
Yeah.
No, scent is a huge thing for me. Huge. I mean, I have a candle and soap shop. I mean, like, come on.
Hence the long time in the bathroom.
Scent is a huge
thing. You
gotta
come out fresh. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. 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 Like, the whole, yeah, no.
How about you fall in love with a guy, and then you realize after you fell in love with him, he thinks superhero movies and comics are stupid.
Ooh. That could be a deal breaker.
Hmm. Hold on. Here's my question.
Like looks down on him, stupid kind of thing.
Yeah, like he mocks it openly.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker.
Like he's never even watched a Marvel movie because it's stupid.
How are you even having a conversation with this person? Like, and
you don't know.
How do you fall in love with this person without having these types of conversations and watching these movies and doing these things? Donnie, your questions are stupid.
Don't ruin my game.
Thank you. I know because I have that conversation with people early, like somewhere between your name and how do you feel about condoms, like you own a kilt.
Right. Here's one. Right? And this one will not be about me this time. But okay, so he's a fresh us, keeps himself smelling good because that's important to you. But he ain't never shaved down there.
Ever?
Oh. Ever.
I think we're still talking about Dan.
Why? Is he not turning? No manscaping? Why?
Because for whatever reason, this dude has not gotten up with the times and he's like, I'm a man. I don't need to do that kind of thing. Mm. There's some of them out there still, I think.
Yeah, but do they like not like blowjobs or something? Like,
I get you. I'm asking, is that a deal breaker?
Well, that's
you?
That's
okay.
Trade-off, right?
Okay.
Every action gets a reaction. If you don't shave, then you are less likely to get your dick sucked.
Maybe he doesn't do that because he's one of these guys, right? Like an idiot who thinks that like blowjobs on the reverse for women are only like birthdays, Christmas, you know what I mean?
Like going down on
holiday. Yeah, like
going down on her is for special occasions only.
Right. So maybe that's why he doesn't shave because he's like, I don't need to worry about blowjobs on the reverse because I'm not doing it either.
Doesn't worry about blowjobs.
I know.
So we're not in love.
Yeah.
See Donnie, just like your comic book question, there are stupid questions out there.
Yeah, there's some are too obvious.
Okay, how about this one? Every time he takes a drink, he does this. Every single time.
That could get old after a while.
Unreal. Wow.
I think that the fact that you are so willing to be transparent to an extent, as you said, is part of why you have such a loyal and dedicated fan base.
100%.
You have always sort of lived that way with your life online. You've been public talking about your marriage, your divorce, things that have happened, you know, over the course of your life, whatever it may be, talking about, oh, I got a new chicken, whatever it may be. I think that that's one of the things that makes your online following so huge. Because one thing I've noticed about you is, even when we were preparing for this show, a lot of people that contacted us and said, oh, you're having April Hunter on the show, are straight women who, you know, I would not think offhand is your core fan base, but people just adore the way that you interact with them, the way that you give them that personal one-to-one time. And it's not just about the fact that your boobs are on aprilhunter.com and you make really good candles. I think that there is a human element to your online presence that a lot of people are lacking.
Well, thank you. I think you, I appreciate that first off. I know a lot of my coworkers tend to not get online much because they don't want to have too much fan interaction, or when they do, it's just a lot of selfie, wearing a bra and panties selfie. And I think that, people don't necessarily always relate to that. Like, they're, people are real and you're real and,
right,
you know, they're interested in real things. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm very real. I'm not some superhero with a cape and a sword out there. I have a lot of real stuff that I deal with, and, you know, it's,
I can even tell by your answer that you're real. It's almost matter of fact, like, why wouldn't I be that way? Because I think one of the biggest things, to Donnie's point, about what makes a fan, or what makes a person a fan of someone, especially in today's era, is because we do have the ability to communicate with our heroes and stars in ways that we never had. We could literally message them. Whether they message back or not is one thing, but the fact that we are using social media to communicate, so now instead of just whatever show or movie you're on, I see what you do almost on a day-to-day basis. And the fact that you are a human being, someone who is a person just like me, who eats food and goes to the washroom, like, that's actually important to people now. So for you to understand that, recognize that, and just be who you are, I definitely think, you know, speaks to, you know, why, to Donnie's point, like, why your fan base is what it is, and probably continue to be strong and grow, because this is the era of be real or we'll figure it out really fast, right?
And you know what,
while, people out for not being real.
And while we're at it, I'm going to throw some more roses at April Hunter, because I've never had the opportunity to Tid's getting pissed. Make fun of her. I'll leave that to you, Tid.
She's a good witch. You can't do that, right? That's
she's
the
a good
way
witch.
It goes.
She's exactly. Glinda. I have never had the opportunity publicly to say this, so I'm going to say this right now. About 10 years ago, when Dan and Tid and I were doing another radio show, we put together this pretty significant, pretty special fundraising effort to raise money for breast cancer. And we put together this calendar, and we decided that we are going to do like a Maxim style photo shoot with some lovely ladies. And we are going to put together this calendar. We are going to sell it and give 100% of the proceeds to the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. I contacted April thinking to myself, we need a recognizable cover model for this calendar. We need somebody with some cachet, because the other ladies that were participating, you know, several of them have gone on to do great things. Allie, who's on AEW television, she was one of our featured ladies in the calendar. And there were many others, but they were all independent wrestling ladies with, you know, varying levels of notoriety or you know, national fame. And I said, April, it would be great if you could jump on. Before I could even finish talking, she's like, yep, no problem. And she just jumped on board. She supported the project 100%. She advertised it to her fan base, and we did really well. We raised a lot of money for cancer research. Absolutely. And you were a huge part of that. You were a massive part of that project. And I thank you because I never got the opportunity to thank you publicly. And it's a little bit different too, because in the old days when we did the show, we were just always talking over the phone. Now we can look you in the face and say, thank you, April. We really appreciate your help.
De nada. It was a cool project. I appreciate being asked to do it. And my mom died from cancer. So
I know.
It was not breast cancer, but it was lung cancer. So it was around that area. So it was nice to be able to do something. You feel helpless when someone in your family has cancer, and they say that when someone has it, they all have it. Your whole family has it. And, you know, you feel like you can't do anything. So thank you for the opportunity to do something.
And you know what? Since that point, cancer in general has become an even bigger thing for me. At the time, I had my own reasons to want to raise money. But since then, I lost my dad to leukemia, which sucked. I know the gentlemen that are on the screen right now both knew my dad. And he was a big fan of both of theirs, more so than mine.
Same as us.
Yeah, I miss my old man. Yeah. And, you know, it sucks. Cancer, it is a bitch. It is a pain in the ass. And, you know, we will do our own research in a fundraising project at some point here on this show and see what we can do and see what we can generate. And maybe we'll reach out to you for that as well. Before we go, one last thing is I know that in your long list of accolades, one of the many things that you've done is you've boxed. And there was a significant boxing story that came up today. Tid, I was going to ask you about this in the intro, but I figure I'll throw it to you and I'll throw it to April. September 12th, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. WTF.
Yeah.
What do we make of this? Tid, I'm going to ask you first, then I'm going to ask April.
When did Roy Jones Jr. become a heavyweight?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to know.
Right? I guess that's why they're calling this an exhibition.
This is like when mom and dad fight. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to see it, but you're really hoping that it's going to be dope as fuck. Right?
So wait, Roy Jones' mom?
I never said that. You did.
Well, in fairness, he did knock out the Big Show.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be, listen, that main event isn't nearly as crazy as some of the other stuff. Like, what is it? Jake Paul is fighting a former NBA player. Like,
nobody cares.
So there's all of this craziness.
Mike Tyson is fighting Roy Jones Jr.
There's all of this craziness underneath it. So like this whole thing is just, it's like Pride revisited. You know what I mean? It's fiasco matches, man.
Are they going to get your pay-per-view dollars, April, to see Mike Tyson fight Roy Jones Jr.?
Probably not, but it should be a really interesting betting situation. I think we've just been so sports-starved. You know what I mean? Like, nothing has gone on.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got English football. So we've got that. That's it. We've got that.
And we've got exhibition basketball from Disney World that just started this week.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not hockey, right?
So. You're such a wannabe Canadian. Wow. Are you a fan of the new team, the Seattle Kraken from the NHL?
I am not. I live in Tampa. We have to support the Lightning here. Because nobody's from Tampa. So if you support your home team, which, you know, would be for me, you know, Flyers or Bruins, because that's where I went to school, then nobody here would like the Lightning. So we have to, you have to ship that.
I can't support any sports team from Tampa because somewhere in the crowd is Brian Knobbs yelling at the top of his lungs and I want to punch him in his belly.
I see the only thing I can get by with Tampa is the fact that, you know, Cannibal Corpse lives there now and they do all the recording. So Cannibal I'm okay Corpse. With that. Yeah.
Well, why don't you go ahead?
An
tell
audience right there, just so you know.
Yeah.
Lightning game. I'm gonna look for everybody next time I go.
Let everyone know where they can find you, where they can get in touch with you. You have 5,000 websites, so let them know where they can go and check you out.
I'm actually really easy to find, though. So everything's either April Hunter or Real April Hunter. That simple. So You can find me on aprilhunter.com, Patreon April Hunter, OnlyFans April Hunter, and then we go over to social media. You can go at Twitter's April Hunter, Instagram is Real April Hunter, Facebook is Real April Hunter. Oh, I think there I got most. I got the important stuff.
And your Etsy?
And my Etsy is April's Sensations. The initials are AF.
All right.
Nice.
Somebody else had April Hunter?
No, I just like April.
Well, that's, okay.
I wanted to go on the panel. My grandmother's name. Somebody had it, so I was like, ah. I didn't want to name something else after me.
I am going to order some of those dog fart candles for Tid's house, and we are going to send you a Godfather's. And we're going to send you a Godfather's of Podcasting tank top that's about two sizes too small. And we hope you'll wear it and show everybody off. Okay. Show it off to everybody.
I will wear it in good health.
Thank you so much. April Hunter, everybody. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll do it again. Gotta love it, man. April Hunter. She has always been an awesome guest when we chatted with her in the past. On any of our previous broadcasts, on our previous shows, and now having her here on the Godfathers of Podcasting, where you can see her live in all her splendor and beauty, is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And it's all how you carry yourself, right? It's all how you carry yourself.
If you are one of those out there that is listening to this show on one of the many podcast providers, you're probably going to want to go to godfathersofpodcasting.com and watch the video so you can see April's lovely smiling face. That's just my recommendation. Y'all do what you want to do. Tid, any parting thoughts before we say goodnight?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out how most people can, like, when they go there to that show and they do the thing and they can look at April's face, maybe they can take like a piece of paper or something like that and put it over on the other side of the screen so they don't got to look at y'all's.
Maybe we were cool today, Tid. What happened, man?
I wasn't talking about you. I wasn't talking about you, my brother. Yeah, I thought it was plural. No, I said y'all's, not all y'all's.
I think we'll publish a version of the show where all the camera boxes are blacked out except for April's.
Highest rating show.
If you want to get people to watch it.
Right? Yeah, just do that. We'll just make her face full screen. Dan, thoughts before we say goodnight?
Yeah, man. Well, you know what? You jogged my memory there. I remember that photo shoot, man. And that was a big deal to me, too. My mother is a breast cancer survivor, and there are other members of my family who have had cancer take them. So that was a big deal, and it was good to have her back on the show. Yeah. Cancer will always be, I know it's right up there. It's number one or number two, actually, in, you know, what takes human lives. And it's something to be taken seriously, just as the current pandemic is. And I urge everybody to stop being fucking stupid about this pandemic. Unlike cancer, it is possible to contract this virus just by interacting with others. So if you're one of those I'm not wearing a mask people, take a look at what I'm not wearing a mask people are doing down in Florida, where April is at, and other places where they seem to have such issues with protecting themselves and others. I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding. So I'm going to just leave it at that. I'm also just going to say tonight at midnight, officially as July 24th takes place, my latest single will be out, so you can stream it anywhere, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or wherever you happen to get music, including
YouTube. It's a remix-a-les.
It's an A-side, B-side, so you're going to be getting the Deadbeat diss track, the original version, clean version, and Prologic remix, of the Deadbeat Daddies Ain't Shit. And you know what is interesting, man? You know, Tid and I were talking right before the show even started about, like, you know, well, what's going on with my music and why I remixed all these tracks is because I'm not really in the studio recording new ones. So I took the album, the day it all changed, remixed it. And as you know, we did Born to Be, that dropped 3 weeks ago. With the whole social injustice situation going on right now, it was an important statement for me to make. But Deadbeat Daddies are just as much pieces of shit as everybody, as other pieces of shit out there, and I had to get them. So this is my Deadbeat diss track. So if you're a deadbeat, you're not going to like it. If you're not, then hopefully you'll dig the track. You can download or stream both versions of it tonight.
If you want to up your streams on your next remix project, I'm willing to come in and lay down a whole new vocal
and do a feature.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
After what you spit a few weeks ago, bro, I am not against that.
Ted, you look like you wanted to jump back in.
Bro, I was just going to say there is absolutely no reason. Like, that's like asking for another lockdown. Why are you asking for another lockdown, ooh, man? We don't need to deal with that shit right now. Big horse tooth killer. I mean, come on now.
Often imitated.
No, no, yeah, no.
Enough's enough,
no,
man.
Know that we created. No, because we're sitting over here hating on what you're doing right now. No. But I'm telling you straight up, and I know we didn't get a chance to talk to it very quickly, so I got to message this out because we didn't say it in the show. Washington Redskins have taken all of this time, boom, to make sure that they just call themselves the Washington football team. Here's the problem with that. Listen, there's other teams out there that are already putting their numbers on the helmets and just using the colors. They're called college teams. All right. You stupid sons of bitches. Here's what you should have realized in the first place a long time ago, and I'm going to leave it at this. There's no reason why your team should have been called the Redskins. You want to know why? You would never have a team called the Whiteskins. You would never have a team called the Blackskins. You would never have a team called the Yellowskins. Why the fuck do you need a team called the Redskins? You've had plenty of time to do this.
Yes.
People own the names to these rights for all of these other teams. Just buy it. Don't claim bankruptcy. Don't claim you're too broke to do it. You're a billionaire. Suck a dick and get it done. All right? Don't just wimp out because you're hoping that there ain't going to be a football season. It's going to happen. Y'all got to go and do the right thing. Fuck you, Washington. All right?
Tid spitting bars.
That's
more poetry.
I rate them.
Fuck the Redskins. Fuck the Edmonton Eskimos. Fuck them all. Cleveland, you're next. Kansas City, you're next. We coming for all of you because you know what? It's a whole new world.
Right?
The Anaheim.
Right?
Because it's just stupid. Fuck you, Pelicans. I see you.
No, because it's from a Disney movie. Right? Yeah, the Pelicans. Right?
They're birds.
How much do the birds get paid for that?
Yes. Straight birdists out there, man.
Donald Duck never made a cent.
Yeah.
Right? Anti-birdites.
On behalf of my bro Danny O and the one and only notorious TID Chris Tidwell, my name is Donnie DeSilva. This has been episode 16 of the Godfathers of Podcasting. Done this party. Make sure you go to makegoodfood.ca. Get your order with the promo code GOP45. Or if I haven't checked the email yet, go to our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com, buy some merchandise, send us your proof of purchase, and you will get a free box of food delivered to your house. That is it. It is simple. It is done. We are back next Tuesday with another live episode, and we will see you then.
All right.
Deuce.